It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I slept till 8:30 on Saturday. That ought to be in the Guinness Book of World Records. 8:30 I slept. I appreciate all the prayers of you out there and everybody being concerned that, you know, I'm worn down. I was tired. I got back from wherever the heck I'd been. I was tired. I slept till 8:30. So Michelle, I said, what time is it? I couldn't believe it. So get my feet back under me a little bit. We had a whirlwind weekend. I'm going to talk about that again today. And I just want to say right at the top of the – look, up on the screen. I think it's on the screen. I don't know, Mike. I think Mike's got it up there. It's part of our Hardy crew that got back from the MAGA march in Washington, D.C. And I just want to say again publicly, I'm just so proud of our team. Just, you know, I've lost all track of time. In that, I don't even know. Sometimes got in a fight with sort of a fight with Michelle yesterday because something's coming up next Thursday that she's told me about 40 times. And I said, honey, I can't even remember if it's November or October. I can't remember what month it is. I'm not making it up. Sometimes I got to sit down, look at the calendar, say, what month is it again? It's November. Do you realize what we've done and where we've been just in the last month? If I began to rattle it off, it's amazing. Where we've been and what we've done. We went to Biden's. We went to Barr's. We went to Obama's. We went to Guidestones. We went to Washington, D.C. I'm probably leaving something else out. We are a frontline impact ministry. It's what we're. Thanks, Mike. Just we're going to scroll through some of these pictures here. Big old Serge here. God bless Serge. I know how hard it was for Serge to get around, take out that walk in D.C. Rich Howe. Most of you don't know Rich. He's in the background there. Go back. I want people to know Rich Howe. Rich Howe's wearing a cross hat that I gave him back in 2004 or 2005 or something. He's from up in Massachusetts. There's me, and then there's Clay, who's become a varsity player. Go ahead. These are just some random shots that were taken at the march. As folks ever, Bobby Lee and me and same crew again. Bobby's here tonight, by the way, and that's marching down to the Supreme Court building and just go and flash through some of those, Mike, and just get people get a feel for what was going on. We got people from Taiwan out fighting for America. Look at this. This is on the wall, the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment. Gave me a chance to street preach as we were marching, by the way, the bullhorn. That was kind of good. I can't remember the name of that building. This is out on one of the grass. And where was I when I was? Hey, listen, I love the cops. They were useless. The cops are useless because they follow orders. See, and so the orders from up on high was do me a favor, let those Trump supporters, let them get the crap beat out of them. That's the orders came from on high. We know that. Maybe we'll talk about that a little later. It was very, very peaceful. It was mom and pop America. And I'm convinced of this. We will win. Now, Bobby, these are some pictures. Bobby was there when the Proud Boys got into a fight with Antifa. Yeah, that happened after the sun goes down. Why did it happen after the sun goes down? Because they are like cockroaches. They're like cockroaches. They don't come out in the brightness of day. I'm talking about Antifa. And they came out, and Bobby and Clay and Mountain Man, some of them, they were able to witness what was going on outside when there was actually fight between the Proud Boys and Antifa, those cowardly cockroaches who sneak up and sneak attack on you. And, of course, the media then says that violent protests break out. There were no violent protests breaking out the Trump rally. There were no. So there we are. There we are. They're just part of us as we're getting ready to get in the car. There's big old Norm and John Freshwater. And what a crew. Mark Jans. See, here's why I'm so proud of our team. It's when some guys can't go, another group steps up. Terry Zeller over there with a big old white beard. When one group can't go, another group can. So I can go this time, Coach. I can't make it, Coach. That's all right. I can go. And we're putting – if we ever got all of our team together one side, it'd be something to see. I'm telling you. And I have to tell you this as well. I don't have to. I'm going to tell you this. Guerrilla warfare is our only chance to win. Somebody say amen. Mike, say amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Guerrilla warfare amen, is our coach. Only chance to win.
Amen, you know? Coach.
Now, I got to show you this because I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want you to see this. Mike, where is Mike? Go to fire starters. It's about halfway down. Do you guys know this? Do you know last night some wild and crazy group showed up outside Hillary's house last night? Do you guys know that? I wonder where they got that idea. What an idea that would be. Yeah, here it is. Watch this. Couple videos. They showed up outside Hillary's last night. Oh, yeah. They showed up outside Hillary.
She's hiding right behind that little wall, and she doesn't want anybody else to build.
We've been there, 15 Old House Lane. Somebody crazy came up with that idea, Steve Deck. Somebody crazy came up with that idea. Huh? That's how we're going to win.
Amen.
That's how we're going to win, folks. Right there's how we're going to win. And by that, I'm talking about we have to begin to do this locally. You know what? We haven't hardly put any pressure at all on our local officials. We have elected representatives. All of us do. Local representatives, whether it be state representatives, state house representatives, state senators, whatever. Do we ever bring any pressure on those guys? See, here in Ohio, again, they're going to close down our state. They're getting ready. They're setting us up to do it. Our freaking governor now is telling us that we can't have Thanksgiving gatherings. Huh? How long are we going to put up with this crap, right?
Hey, Kirk.
Just a second, Vinny. And why have we not, instead of showed up outside the governor's house, which I've done a number of times, and by the way, there's one going on tonight. People are traveling, going to have a party at his house tonight, a watch party at the governor's house out in the country. Thank God. How come we're not showing up at our state rep's house? Say, what the hell are you guys doing? Are you guys representing me? Where are we letting this guy get away with this? And that's exactly what's going on. And it's the old Christian ethos. I'll obey those in authority. Obey those in authority, Coach. Yeah. Well, they tell you to starve your children. You're going to obey those in authority? What if they tell you it's okay to kill a baby? You're going to obey those in authority? What if they tell you you have to marry homosexuals? You're going to obey those in authority? What if they tell you you have to wear a mask? Going to obey those in authority? What if they tell you what kind of food you eat? You're going to obey those in authority? What if they – are you with me? Freaking churches are the worst. They're the worst. The ones who should be raising up a standard and pushing back to it can't wait to bend over for them. They're coming again. They're coming in. Go ahead, Vinny.
Hey, Coach. You know, the people in Michigan are tired of that. You know why? They started to impeach her.
I saw that. Hey, Vinny, let me tell you something. The people of America are tired of it. I saw it in Washington, D.C.
Amen.
I saw it. And you know our problem? Anybody was there, Mike Keith, I'm going to let you go off on a rant here a minute, talk a little bit about it, about some of the things we saw. I'm going to tell you this, and I don't mean this to offend anybody, okay? This is not meant to offend anybody. Our movement is sissy men and women led. Our movement is led by women and sissy men. Our movement is led by women and sissy men.
Amen, Coach.
That's because the quote, churches have castrated the men.
They have. The churches have castrated the men. And what we needed on Saturday, whatever day it was, in Washington, D.C., is for someone to grab a flag and say, follow me, boys! That's all that's needed. And they would have. And they're ready to. And they're going to. I don't know who that person. Hang on a second. Let me get this out because this is critical, critical stuff. Okay, I saw this as clearly as anybody can see anything. The leader of our movement, whatever you want to call that, is Alex Jones. Okay, now here's the problem. Alex Jones has been so demonized by the mainstream media that we, his followers, don't respect him. They have made Alex Jones so far out to the right. Which direction would that be? So far out to the right. Hey, listen, folks, Alex Jones is mainstream. He is not far right. Alex Jones is mainstream. He's only far right because the church is middle. The church is middle. The church ought to be out where Alex Jones is. And instead, we get Tony Perkins and Pastor Robert Jeffress and John MacArthur. That's why we're failing. That's why we're losing. We don't even recognize that we have come into a time and a place where status quo Christianity ain't going to cut it, boys and girls. It ain't. The devil's loose. Why isn't the Holy Spirit loose? Can somebody explain that one to me? There's a devil on the loose. There's no Holy Spirit pushback. That's why I'm so excited that somebody else caught the idea of going to Hillary's.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Gary. I just want to mention, we definitely need to be doing all the protests and whatnot. What's really going to make the difference, and what I don't, at least not up here, I don't see much of it, is just people going about their daily lives not complying. Businesses being told to shut down, open up. If businesses or restaurants are being told 50% capacity, 100% capacity. If you need, don't enforce, your customers wearing masks. And if anybody, from the government comes by to hassle, if you got friends or relatives who have guns, post them outside the door just to, deter the cops from coming in from issuing citations.
So Gary, we get up Saturday morning. We got our crew, which you just saw them there on the screen. There were about 30 of us. And Gary Pierce and Mike Heath, they'd done a little bit of groundwork and said, listen, tomorrow morning we're going to go eat breakfast at, where were we eating breakfast the next morning? At IHOP. And Gary had gone down there and Gary said, listen, they won't make us wear masks. We can go in there and we eat breakfast without masks. So, yes, that's where we're going. So we walked about a block down to IHOP and big signs. Of course, you got to wear a mask, must wear a mask. And we just freaking walked in, sat down. Nobody said anything to us about a mask. And we're sitting there eating our meal. And I look out the window and another group of guys just like us pulls in and they come walking up to the door. And I'm not making this up. And they come walking up to the door and they see the sign says masks. And they turn and they walk back to the car. And I got up and I went outside the door. I said, dudes, come on in. You don't need a mask. Come on in. And they turned around and said, looked at me. I said, come on in. You don't need a mask. And they walked in. The next thing we knew, we had about, 40 of us in there. No masks. Even manly men are falling for this idea. We have, hey, folks, wearing a mask is not a law. It's not a law. You say, well, Coach, we want to keep people healthy. Well, then tell them to quit having butt sex with other men. That'll keep them healthy. Tell them to quit doing that. Tell them to wash their hands after they eat, after they go to the bathroom. That'll help. I can tell you a million things that'll make people healthy. I'm not going to put on a mask because you might get sick. I'm not going to do it. And it's going to – listen, they don't want you – they want you wearing a mask today. You better hear me. They want you wearing a mask and social distancing today because the last thing they want is for us to gather together in groups and figure out what the hell's going on and how we're going to fight back. That's the last thing they want. If you think it's about a virus, I don't know how you got so stupid.
Amen, Coach.
I'm feeling this morning. I'm sick. I'm just freaking sick of it. Sick of it. Because now is the time to fight. Right now is the time to fight. Now listen. Alex Jones is our spokesman. But they've neutered him to where they made him like some type of, like I used to say about me, he's just an organ monkey. They just make fun of him. Alex Jones is right on it, man. He's right on top of it. But will Tony Perkins, Mike Heath, will Tony Perkins and Robert Jeffress, will they stand with Alex Jones? Oh, no. Oh, my goodness, no. Can't have that. Mike, give me your reaction, because Mike and Polly were there, and they did yeoman's duties, getting everything organized. Go ahead, Mike.
So, Coach, Alex is winning. He's winning. I've been diving into the internet to try to figure out where to get the best stuff the quickest because of the censorship on Facebook and Twitter. So I don't want to get into it. I don't want to go on and on. But the bottom line is Alex Jones is showing us the way. Mm-hmm. He is right. This is an information war. I noticed at the rally that the Proud Boys surrounded him. There was about 100 of them, and they were marching like a snake through that crowd of 200,000 to one. I've heard a number as high as 1.6 million from a reliable source. They were marching like a snake through that crowd.
Crowd.
And they were shouting expletives, F Antifa. They were projecting manliness to that crowd. And their coach, I don't know if you noticed this, but there was no pushback from the crowd.
No.
The crowd is trying to figure it out, and the women got enough money so that they could assemble the largest stage with the loudest speakers, and so they were the ones that became the center of attention. It was literally a woman's group who bored us to tears for an hour with speakers. The first speaker was Pillow Man, and nothing against him, but what's that tell? You were the one that said to me in the crowd there, as we were listening, what does it tell you that they started this thing, they launched this thing with Mr. Pillow, you know?
That's the American male, isn't it? That's the American male. Our leader markets pillows.
And Alex and the Proud Boys were prominently seen. Nick Fuentes was there, which nobody's heard of, but this is a young man who's 21 years old. He's got tens of thousands of followers online, and he's telling boys to stop masturbating and to go to church and to wear a suit and tie. Why haven't you heard of him? He was there. I saw him. He was standing on high ground in the middle of that crowd with a megaphone, and there was no pushback against Nick. Enough people know him. Now, the lamestream media is calling him a white supremacist.
Sure just they like, are.
And he's not a white supremacist. Michael Voris was there. You were there. Alex Jones was there. None of you were on the speakers list. But there was no pushback against you either. The crowd's trying to figure it out. They are not going to follow Tony Perkins anymore. They are not.
Don't give him any more money. Don't give Focus on the Family. Don't give him any more money. Don't give American Family Association. You can throw him 20% maybe. They try to do. Don't give him any more money, folks. You're wasting your money.
But they had the women speaking.
The women led it, Joseph. I wasn't going to say that because I didn't want to sound. I don't care. It was women led. It was women and men who act like women. And listen, thank God everybody came together. Thank God they organized it. But I don't need 50 people to say the same thing to me. Four more years. I don't need another speaker to get up and chant 4 more years. I don't need one more speaker to do that. I don't need one more speaker to get up. Are you with me? Folks, listen, we are right now reaching the point where only guerrilla warfare will win. I'm sorry to tell you this. I'm sorry.
Coach? Yeah.
Yes, Jack.
The biggest single problem is we don't have a organized goal. We don't have a goal. We have 4 more years. We don't have a goal. We don't know what the game is, and we don't know what we really want. You and I might, but the mass people do not know what they want. We don't have a goal, and we better get a goal, or we're going to lose. We have no organization. We have no point of the spear because there's no place to put it.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
There's a goal. It's been out there since 1994. It's called a plan to restore America. That plan is currently picked up by Friends of Liberty United. And we have just started this morning. We are organizing what we're calling True the Vote. And just like you said, guerrilla warfare at the ground level, at the local level. True the vote. We're going to come up with ideas and ways that people can, if it's just three people, get a rally for true the vote in every town across this country at least once a week. At least once a week.
Yeah, sad thing is, Larry, we're 4 years behind. I'm with you, Larry. I'm with you. See, we don't react till it gets too they can warn you that your car is going to be stolen, but you don't do anything about it till your car's stolen. Say, hey, they stole my car. We've been warning them for 4 years. They're going to steal your freaking car. Okay,
Coach, we've been warning them for 25 years. We the People Foundation, Bob Schultz, has been warning them. He spent his entire adult life funding and fighting perversion down over the cliff. Restore the Republic. We the People Foundation. There's tons of them out there, but they can't get any traction. They're radical. Now's the time for us to be radical and coalesce with some of these groups that have been fighting this for 25, 30 years. They have a structure that we can use. But we don't even know they exist.
Jack, listen, here's what it is, and I've been saying this for however long. You cannot teach what you have not done. And the men standing in our pulpits have not done anything out on the streets anywhere to push back against the darkness. They can't teach it. They show you, say, there is. See that darkness? Look at that darkness. Oh, look at that. They don't teach you what to do anything about it. That's our problem. We have the organization. We have the structure. But we have the worst leadership, Christian leadership, in the history of the world. Come on in, Chad, and God bless Chad, who had a Texas Salt and Light Brigade meeting this weekend as well with over 25 people. Chad's always working. Go ahead. I love the way you played, Chad. Come on in.
All right. Well, the problem is, I really think, is once something's organized, people don't have staying power. So we don't have a long – we're not longevity committed to this. That's going right. On. We're for a weekend. You saw the gun rally a month ago where they went to Virginia and they said, well, we're going to be there. And so, I mean, there was thousands of them out there. And so they said, we're not going to let you pass that bill. And so they were there. And so what'd they do? The governor delayed it for 1 week. Everybody left the next day. And then the next week he passed it and no one went back up there.
Yeah. I'm with you, Dad. No staying power. There's no staying power. Go ahead, Silver.
I'm going to ask Larry about True the Vote. Is that a good counting of what's been registered, or is that a redo the whole vote again?
True the Vote is simply an effort to bring focus on the corruption that has infiltrated not only the election system, but our whole government, but especially the election system, and to force our local officials at the local, election offices and stuff like that to just camp out it every week, have a rally in front of their place, do something just to make them come forth and prove that the vote was square and fair. And they can't do that. But we've got to keep the pressure on. We've got to be like Antifa and Black Lives Matter for the next 4 years, if that's how long it takes to get in some kind of sanity restored into our government electoral system.
See, we need to bring pressure on the Democrats for them to stand up and want a clear accounting of the election. Let's make them do that. Let's make them say they don't want a clear accounting of the election. Let's make them say that. We know they don't want one, right? We know that. We know there's cheating involved. Remember, on the left, the ends justify the means. It's all about power. It doesn't matter whether or not it was done honestly. It doesn't matter not whether the election was tainted. They just want power. So are they going to call? Listen, it's like football. On further review, right? We all see the video on further review, and they tell us what the referee ruled. And sometimes you say, that replay, they blew that replay. Yeah, but they got a replay anyway, didn't they? Didn't they at least get a replay? We don't get a replay. Are the Democrats calling for a replay? No, 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 no. No, they don't want a replay. No, they don't want instant replay. And so we have to use the same. Hey, I'm going to show you something real quickly. I'm going to show you two things. Here's why I'm greatly, greatly encouraged today. We are, our side, we have to trust government hacks to do their job. We've been praying for Bill Barr. Keep praying for him. Keep reading him precatory psalms. Keep sending cards to his wife. She's starting to get them probably now. Keep doing that. Send another card today. Send another card today. We have to beg evil men to do good, right? We have to beg evil men to do good. We got an attorney general that doesn't appear to be doing anything, although he might be. We have a FBI guy who's not doing anything. We got this guy named Durham. Is he doing anything? We've got all these guys, all these government hacks that we're counting on doing things. Here's what encourages me. We have two non-government attorneys who are fighting like hell. It gives me hope. One of them is Sidney Powell, Michael Flynn's attorney. Hey, I like Rudy Giuliani. He's a government hack. He's always been a government hack. And so when somebody says, well, Rudy Giuliani, he's just a Republican hack. How do I argue? Yeah, he is just a, well, Sidney Powell isn't. Sidney Powell was Michael Flynn's private attorney. And now she's on part of the Trump team. And she ain't a government hack. She isn't a government hack. We can win. This is about a 5-minute clip that she did with Eric Bowling the other day. Go ahead and play that. She is the one who's out front calling out. She said she's going to be what she call that? Whatever. Kraken?
Bring the Kraken.
She says, time to release the Kraken.
That's right. So she is a non-government. She ain't a government hack, I don't think. And then we got Lynn Wood, too. I want to play these two clips really quickly. Go ahead and play Sidney Powell. Hey, folks, listen. Hang on, Mike. Listen, folks, she earns her living defending people. She doesn't get a government check. Do you understand what I'm telling you? She's putting her reputation on the line. This is a private attorney. This is not a public hack. This is not a public Republican-owned hack, okay? License to Lie. She wrote the book License to Lie, Exposing Corruption in the Department of Justice. She defended Nick Sandman, the kid from down in Kentucky when they tried to railroad him. She's defending, I think she's jumped, maybe not. I was going to say she's jumped on the Kyle Rittenhouse tour, but that's Lynn Wood that's doing. Anyway, I trust Sidney Powell. And listen, she just ain't blowing smoke. She's not just saying stuff. She wouldn't put her reputation on the line like this. She's General Flynn's attorney. Listen to this. Go ahead.
To Lie, former federal prosecutor and General Michael Flynn's attorney, Sidney Powell. Thank you for joining us. Counsel, tell us a little bit about the challenges that the Trump administration is facing. And what are your thoughts on whether or not they will be able to flip any states?
They're facing an election that was absolutely rigged. We are soaking in information through fire hoses of complicated mathematical alterations to the votes. We have identified the system capability that does it. It does, in fact, exist, regardless of what the name of it is. It works through the Dominion Company's voting machines that were in 30 states and does indeed alter and flip voting results.
So can you tell me right there? I understand that. So there are these Dominion machines that were voting machines, and as you point out, they're in multiple counties across the country that may have changed. How do you know this? Listen, I'm not pushing back on you because I know everyone's going crazy right now, but is there proof of that?
Yes. Well, the Dominion machines are in 30 states. We're identifying the companies that created the software. They have done this in other countries around the world. It's incredibly disturbing, and we will hopefully have evidence of it before the end of the week that we can produce publicly. And the Justice Department and the FBI and the intelligence agencies, I think, have known about this before, So why nothing's been done about it yet is beyond my comprehension, but it's fixing to go public because I'm not going to stand by and watch the American public be defrauded of their chosen leader in a free country, a country that's supposed to be free, not run by Venezuela or China.
Cindy, very important information news you're breaking here. Is it a software glitch or something more nefarious?
It's a feature of the system that was designed with a back door so that people could watch in real time and calculate with an algorithm how many votes they needed to change to make the result they wanted to create.
How did you find out about this?
People have come to me with information. I think when people realize there's somebody they can trust that will actually do something about it, they speak up. We have a lot of patriots in this country. They are absolutely fed up to the gills with corruption at every level of government. They have no trust in our public institutions now, and we will not let the election be stolen or any cheating to survive.
So let me get this straight. It's a real important point here. Dominion voting machines were in numerous states, numerous counties. There's some sort of software backdoor, not unlike most phones will have a backdoor, but this will actually calculate and tell the person accessing the backdoor what type of voting percentages and what type of numbers are needed to change the win for a certain party, for a certain candidate.
Exactly. They can watch the voting real time. They run a computer algorithm on it as needed to either flip votes, take votes out, or alter the votes to make a candidate win.
So that's different. This is even different. I just really want to be very, very careful here and be very meticulous about this. It's one thing to be able to watch it and decide how much more input you need to change the number. But now you're saying there's an actual way to change the total, the vote tallies within the system?
That's exactly right.
That's a very, very big claim there. I mean, that would be voter fraud defined right there. What's the next step?
It's massive criminal voter fraud writ large across at least 29 states. It could have been happening. Anytime a voting machine was connected to the internet, and we have evidence that many were, it was obviously happening. It's obvious from the algorithm and the statistics that our experts are tracking out for batches of votes and when the curves changed. And it's going to blow the mind of everyone in this country when we get it all together and can explain it with the affidavits and the experts that have come forward.
All right, Cindy, we're going to leave it there, and we're going to look into it. We're going to watch for further information.
Mike, bring up Linwood. It's only about a minute. Folks, these aren't government hacks. She's not a government hack. She's not a government hack. And so there's going to be quite a process. Here's the sad truth. Is this going on in the states too? Do we really wonder why all of these incumbents are getting reelected? Are the vote machines rigged? Are they? Do you know right now? I had Kevin Fahey. Kevin sent me a gift. It was delivered Saturday, but I didn't get it. And they've done tracking. They can do tracking. In fact, UPS can do tracking to the point where they will show a picture of where that package was left. Did you know that? Let me ask you something. Do you have a receipt of your vote? Do you know if your vote actually counted? Do you know that you make any transaction in America on anything that you buy, sell, trade, whatever, that there's a receipt? Do you guys have a copy of your vote? Well, why would that be? Why would that be that we don't have a copy of it? Why is it they can't send us an email saying, here's your vote? Right? Folks, there's something really, really nefarious going on. Now, this is Len Wood. This is Len Wood, who is the attorney from Kentucky who took on the Nick Sandman case. He's now involved. I want you to hear what
Coach.
Yes.
Briefly, it it's going to end up being 30 to 40% of the digital vote, Coach.
30 to 40%.
And look, this was this came out after I told you guys that. Now, y'all watch it play out, and I'm so happy to see somebody speaking out. Thanks, Coach, for sharing.
Mark, I saw something like, real quickly yesterday that they believe that Donald Trump won 70 to 30 in the United States. 70 to 30 on a clean vote. He won the United States, including California. Did you guys know that? Donald Trump won California. He did. And it's all what was it Stalin said? It doesn't matter who votes, it's who counts the votes or something similar to that. Here, that's right, Vinny. They said he had 410 electoral votes. Clean election, Trump had 410 electoral votes. Okay, let's hear Lynn Wood here real quick. This is only a minute, 10 seconds. Again, private attorney, okay? Not a government hack, not Rudy Giuliani, not Sebastian Gorka. This is Lynn Wood, a guy from Kentucky. That's all this is. Go ahead, Mike.
I was sitting around Tuesday night watching the election returns. I've loved politics all my life, since I first voted in 1972. And I saw what I assumed was going to happen. I saw President Trump building up what I believed was going to be almost a historic landslide victory.
It was.
Yeah, it is.
And then all of a sudden, every network, including Fox News, started doing what they do best. They started lying to the American public. And they took a victory from Donald Trump and they called it a lie. They took a defeat from Joe Biden and lied and said he won. And they sent you to bed, turning off the count of the vote, so you could wake up tomorrow, the next morning like I did, and go, what happened?
That's why I have hope today. That's why I have hope. We've got some non-governmental hacks with some power who've entered the fray. Somebody, come on in. I've yapped.
Amen.
There's a video out there right now of Biden saying that he has comprehensive voting fraud set up.
Yeah, I've seen that too, Joe. But you know, you can't trust anything comes out of his mouth. He don't know what he's saying. I'm with you.
So just to carry this forward, as Chad was saying, I'm just saying, where do we go from here? Does this end up in the Supreme Court and then back into with Congress to decide who the president is?
Well, how do I say this in a nice way? I'm a good Christian man, and I'm not going to. I'm not going to put a mask on today and comply as things get tougher and tougher here. I'm not going to do it. I am not going to do it. And no matter what they do, no matter what the Supreme Court rules, anything having to do with the government, now I'm sounding like Alex Jones, I don't trust. Is John Roberts bought and paid for? Is Kavanaugh bought and paid for?
Yeah,
are these people bought? So they're going to come in and say, "Well, it was all clean. Everything was clean. It wasn't clean. I know it wasn't clean, right?" So this is, see, folks, this is what drives us to the point where we're going to have to do something.
Yeah, but people.
Hey, you know.
Say it again.
The question: where do we go from here? Well, there's two arenas that are go from here. One is the official arena out there that the media and everybody else is controlling. The other is the arena that we control. That is, what is our actions? What do we do from here? Stop wondering what's going to happen officially in the official arena from here. What are we going to do from here? What are your actions going to be to get in the game and to force things to happen? And it's up, you know, and it's simply a question of that. It's not a question of what's going to happen in the courts and everything. Ultimately, this country depends on what we do, or whether we sit on our butts and wait for what's going to happen.
By the way, Larry was in Washington, D.C. Larry was at in Georgia at the Guidestones. Larry's walking his walk. All right. He's walking his talk. Just want you all to know that. Yes.
Okay. Another thing is, see, we've had these 4 years to do something. And now we're asking for another 4 years. And people are, you know what they're going to do? If they get them, they're going to do nothing.
That's right.
This is the whole problem. See, we just want more time to do nothing. Rather than, if Joe Biden came in and became president, how would it change your life? And what would you be doing right now? This is what has to be happening. I'm with you on this. But the mass majority of people, all they want is more time to do nothing.
Amen. You got it. That's what the.
That's okay. Man, that's a football team. 11 guys play, 66 sit on the bench. That's all right. Find me 11 good players. Find me 11 good players, and we got a chance to win. Look at me. Look at me. We're going to win. You don't understand.
What do you want to happen?
We're going to win. Folks, listen. Please hear me. The Democrats aren't 50% of the population. That's all made up. It's all made up. The media is Democrat, so they pump up everything that they do. They make fake polls. They do everything they can. So you think it's a 50-50. It isn't 50-50. It isn't 50-50, folks.
Amen, Coach.
It isn't 50-50. It's all a lie. It's all a lie.
Can I use an analogy here?
Please, yes.
It's a real simple analogy, because I'm just sitting here, and that's exactly what it is, because the media has pumped it up and people believe whatever they're saying. So, Chad, you're out there. You posted this little joke out there, or little quiz thing, brain twister, about a man enters into the room and there's birds and ducks and horses and chickens flying in the room, and how many, and there's a table and a bed, and how many legs are on the floor. And of course, when you go on the internet and research this, it says 10. The fact of the matter is, if a person thinks outside of the box, they realize that beds don't have legs. Tables do. So there's 4. Humans' legs are not on the floor. My feet are on the floor. Therefore, my legs are not on the floor. But everybody goes, no, your answer's wrong. I say, you say my answer's wrong because when you go on the internet tells you 10. So you're going to believe anything Fox News says, ABC News says. Why? Because that's what they say. So you're just supposed to believe it because you're not thinking for yourself. Nothing wrong with you, Chad, but I did that same thing to Matt Trewilla's daughter, and she goes, you know what? You're absolutely right. I said, yes, because I don't think that way. I don't just follow that little reasoning.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the way you think.
Amen.
Transformed by the way you think. Quit believing everything you hear. I love my wife to death. I love her to death. And she'll say, honey, is the wine really going to shut us down? I said, what are you reading? What are you reading? Oh, well, I just got a text message from so-and-so, and they say, stop it! Stop it! Stop believing that crap! Stop allowing those lies to enter into your heart. That's what faith is. Faith now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And what's going on is, once you got your eyes locked on truth, quit looking at the evidence that somebody else presents. Because the evidence that somebody else presents is a lie.
And that right there, Coach, is it. And you know what? I had that same thing in my house, and my wife, she'll wring her hands. I said, Michelle, stop.
Yes.
Stop right there. Here's the thing. I'm at a football game. They stripe the field. Watch this. The goal line, they striped it from one side, and they missed the mark on the other by about 8 inches. So there's like 2 lines there. And I had this guy look at me. I said, you know what that is? I said, that's sin. He goes, what do you mean? I said, the word sin means to miss the mark. When you start at a small variation at one point, by the time you got across the football field, you've missed it by 6 inches. I said, this is, we cannot, we have to fix
our eyes. It says, fix our eyes upon him, the author and the finisher of our faith. And it says that word fix means to gaze in intensity. I mean, our eyes can't look to the left. They can't look to the right. That's why they put them blinders. They're not blinders. They're protectors for a horse. A racehorse has these things. So they're not looking to the left. They're not looking to the right. They're going straight down the course, that which is before them.
Amen, Dale. Amen. Listen, folks. I had a conversation this weekend. Yeah, a lot of people there in Washington, D.C., a lot of conversations gone on. And somebody said to me, how can anybody be a Catholic today, follow that Pope? How can anybody do that? And then I said, how can anybody be a Christian today and follow the average pastor? And they didn't know what to say. And I get emails or comments. I hear it all the time. Oh, our pastor, he is just the most wonderful man. Is he really? Is that you? Is that the way you judge Christianity? By how nice and kind and considerate your pastor? Are you kidding me? And before you start griping and moaning about the Pope, look at the dude in your pulpit that you're following.
Yep.
Go ahead, Jack.
Edmund Burke's quote that everybody loves, all it takes for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. Well, my question is, if good people do nothing, are they good?
That's right, Jack. Are they good? No. It's like the same thing. People look at me with, like I got cross eyes. I said, wearing a mask is bearing false witness. They don't work. Friends, the masks don't work. Can I say it again, Silver? The masks don't work. One, you are bearing false witness against your neighbor. That is a lie.
Amen. Amen.
Silver, go ahead.
Coach, I was going to say that, you know, you were talking about the friend that you had a person you had a conversation with at the march concerning the Pope. You know, my response to that, you know, is all churches are man-made.
They are. And men-led. Man-led.
And men-led and not led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And, you know, there is no Catholic gate. There is no Baptist gate. There is no Lutheran gate.
Amen, brother.
In the temple. You got, but you got to get it together and get back to the house of Israel.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, Dave.
Yes.
All right, I was going to say too, Chet, is that we shouldn't be discouraged. Now, I'm trying to talk to people too, just about, look, the 4 more years thing. Well, you're going to do, you have to get going. But this history has a history of the majority, the minority of people are the ones going to be doing the heavy lifting. You know, the 3%ers, that's who kicked off the American Revolution. Those people, you see, we're never going to have 70% of the people moving to go and do something.
No, they're not.
So,
but it doesn't take 70% though, does it, Chad?
That's right. No, it doesn't. No. Look, you look at the LGBTQ. Are 70% of Americans LGBTQ or 2%? And how much authority and stuff are they pushing, cramming their agenda down? That's what I'm saying. We're just standing here and just getting rolled over. And most
men, I say it's time to fill up the jails.
We've got to do something. We have to do something.
We have to do something. We got to fill up the jails. So I'm going to say it again because you don't get it. We got to fill up the jails. We have to be civilly disobedient. Hey, Mike, go real quickly, if you can, to the lesser magistrate. Here's our next target. Are you listening? I'm giving you fair warning now. I'm giving you fair warning. Now, I think today is day number 81. 81, I believe. I could be wrong. 81, Kyle Rittenhouse being in jail. Day 81. What if that's your kid? What if that was your son? 81 days in jail.
Kyle Rittenhouse didn't do anything wrong.
Did not do. Listen, hey, Vinny, that's why we have trials, right? $2 million bond. They won't let him out of jail. They won't let him out of jail. They won't let him bond out a 17-year-old kid. with no history of anything. They won't let him out of jail. And we don't, hey, we've forgotten him, right? So I was speaking to my buddy, guys in the van can attest to this conversation. When we were coming home, I had Matt Truella on audio in the van so everybody could hear our conversation. Matt's going to be on the show here in the next couple of days. And I started talking to people about what the doctrine of the lesser magistrate is. They said, what is that, coach? What is it? So you go to Matt's website, Defy Tyrants. And again, that I had Bobby Lee listen to Matt's sermon from last Sunday. Holy smokes. So here's the doctrine of the lesser magistrate. Mike, I'm going to scroll down. Folks, we have to become the lesser magistrate. We have to become that, okay? We have to. In a nutshell, here's the lesser magistrate. The governor is breaking the law. The governor isn't king. Who's under the governor? State senators. Okay, well, they're the lesser magistrate. When the king doesn't do the right thing, it falls, the duty to do the right thing falls on the guy below him. If in your house, the father is beating the children, who has to intervene? Mother.
Mom.
She's the next one. That's called the lesser magistrate. Dad's the boss, but when dad gets out of line, mom has to step in. And if dad beats mom, is hitting mom, punishing mom, who has to step in? Well, the elder son has to step in. The duty falls to the next guy in line. When the guy above you is breaking the law, the duty falls to the next guy in line to correct the wrong. That's the doctrine of the lesser magistrate. The lesser magistrate doctrine teaches that when the superior or higher ranking civil authority, I'm reading from this, makes unjust, immoral law, policy, or court opinion, the lower or lesser ranking civil authority has both the God-given right and the duty to refuse obedience to that superior authority. And if necessary, actively resist the superior authority. Do you understand that? When the mayor says to a police officer, arrest them for standing on the sidewalk, the police officer has a moral duty to say, I won't do that. That's what the Nuremberg trials were all about. All right. The doctrine was formalized by Christian men in Magdeburg, Germany in 1550. Lesser magistrate doctrine is rooted in the historic Christian doctrine of interposition, meaning I step in and protect the weak. That's what interposition is. Jesus was the lesser magistrate. He stepped in between the wrath of his father and the punishment of evil. Jesus stepped in. The law of God is the objective standard which all men and all governments of men are accountable. And if civil authorities make law, policy, or court opinion that is contrary to God's law, the lesser magistrates are to interpose and stop the evil. I will not support Joe Biden. He wants to murder children. Anybody hear that? I will not give him my support. I will not give him my support.
Amen, Coach.
America's founders established the nation as a true federalism. And in a true federalism, there are multiple levels of government and multiple branches on each level. They did this because they held a Christian view of man, that man is wicked and needs a savior. We call it accountability in the church, small groups, right? They did not want power to rest in one man or a small group of men. The intent, therefore, of federalism is if one branch begins to play the tyrant, like the whatever, Supreme Court, it's the duty of the other branches to interpose and resist that branch and stop that evil. The duty of the people is to rally with the interposing magistrates. If we find a sheriff that will stand up, our job is to get behind that sheriff. All public authorities possess lawful authority. If federal authorities do wrong, it's the duty of state, county, and local authorities to step in and say, screw you. If state authorities do wrong, it's the duty of county and local officials to step in and say, stop it. State, county, and local magistrates take an oath to uphold the state constitution and the U.S. Constitution. They don't take an oath of subservience to the federal government, nor do they take an oath to blindly obey the authority above them. Rather, they take an oath to uphold what? The Constitution. If therefore another authority makes law, policy, or court opinion repugnant to the state or federal constitutions, they should not obey. God has established four realms of government to which he delegates authority. They are self-government, family government, church government, and civil government. And each has its own role, function, and limits. The authority an individual possesses in any one of these four realms of government, delegated authority. Hey, Donald Trump works for me. I don't work for him. The Supreme Court works for me. Hang on, I'm not done. the Supreme Court works for me. In other words, they derive their authority from God. Their authority is not autonomous or unconditional. Their authority is God-given, and thus they have a duty to govern in accordance to his will. When someone in authority makes laws or decrees contrary to God's law, they are in rebellion to God's law. And those under the authority are not to obey them when they do this. They may even have to actively resist them. That's the doctrine of the lesser magistrate. No! You don't have the
authority. Hey, Coach.
I will not comply. Yeah, Larry.
Hey, you know, there's a group.
Hey, this is John Diamond.
Hang on, John. Let Larry finish.
Yeah, there's a group of folks that have been hosting sheriff's conventions all across the country. They've had three or four of them this year, even during COVID. And what they've been doing is they've been looking for one sheriff out of over the 3,100 sheriffs in the United States that will stick to his oath to uphold the Constitution and have the guts to go and arrest any public official for violating the Constitution. And believe you me, every one of them has. And they have yet to find one sheriff to step forward and to arrest any public official.
Are sheriffs elected? Yes. So when they don't do their job, we got to make sure they do. Come on in, John.
Yeah, I mean, me and Matt talked quite often that the key to everything Matt is saying goes right back to Romans 13. And if we don't understand the proper chain of command in Romans 13, God, government, and citizens, like you said from the beginning, everything in this country is the church's fault. It's the pastor's fault. The pastors are illiterate. They're ignorant. They have no idea what scripture is. They have about 30 scriptures that they hang their hat on, and they're all about the love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness of God and obey your government. And everything that we deal with in the country, they go to those 30 scriptures. Bradley Dean's having me on his morning show with Tim Brown tomorrow talking about imprecatory prayer. And this is exactly what the problem is in Christianity. We have redacted Christianity. We have 30 verses we go to, and we've scratched out the other 31,000 verses, and they don't apply. It's the same with imprecatory prayer. Oh, I would never pray that. Well, then you think you're smarter than God, because God's given you the answer to what to do to take down an evil person, and you refuse to apply it. There's our problem right there.
Amen, bro. It's so obvious, isn't it? I just got a couple minutes left. Listen, I put a new video up here today. Jared put it up. I'm trying to find my videos. Listen to podcast show. Are they messing with our website again? Where does it say videos?
While you're looking at that, just keep an ear to this. I sent you a little link. You know, every once in a while, it's just nice to have something good happened to give you hope. And so I sent you that little video link where that guy in Washington tried to rip that Trump flag out of that person's hand, and he drove straight into a light pole.
Oh, yes.
With a pop right behind him. So, you know, when I see that, I'm like, yes, indeed. That just makes me smile.
Hey, amen, Dale. Hey, Jared, we'll do it later. Your browser does not currently recognize any of the video formats here. I don't know what that's all about. Anyway, folks, I just posted a new video with Dr. Estelle. What's her name? The South African lady. Black doctor.
Candace Owens-Manuel.
Yeah, thank you. With Candace Owens. Boy, is that worth watching. Woo! That's a good one there. I've been on the road a lot, man. I'm behind, okay? I'm behind on getting videos up there. These are the times that try men's souls. Right? This is it, man. This is it. And we're at a crossroads. Really, really, even more than we understand, we're at a crossroads. We have to build our numbers. You have to become a thorn in the side of people that you love. We can no longer go along to get along. We have to help them understand the times in which we live and understand what's going on and realize that they're under a strong delusion, that they're believing lies, that they're on their phones and they're watching TV and they're watching MSNBC. They're watching any of them now. Doesn't even hardly matter anymore. They're on Facebook and they've lost the ability to reason, the ability to think. And so those of us who are awake, we got to awaken others. Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
You just hit 80 in the huddle for the first time, I think.
Good. 80 in the huddle. Our numbers are growing. Folks, Mike said something to me. Mike, he said something to me. Mike, who should have been three speakers in Washington on Saturday, Mike?
Should have been you and Voris and Fuentes and Alex Jones, in my opinion.
Those kind of voices. Folks, God is going to... These are the only voices that are making sense, folks. These are the only voices. There's more. I didn't mean to put myself in the same category as Alex Jones. But we're singing the same song. Listen, I'm sorry. I hate to tell you this. Your nice, kind pastor is useless in this war. He's useless. Sadly. We are at war. Time to man up. Act like men. Push back. Stand up.
Well, Dave, let's host another rally. Let's invite Fuentes, yourself, Carl Jones, and we'll make it another weekend, and we'll go right back up there.
Let's see what we can do, brother.
We have to capture the momentum now. We have the momentum, and let's keep going.
All right, Chad, I'm with you. I'm going to Wisconsin. That's what I'm going to do. That's the next thing on my list. I'm going to go help Kyle Rittenhouse get out of jail. If it was my son, I'd pray everybody would come. Hey, got to run. God bless you. See you tomorrow.
You're off.